Well, good evening. We're thankful that you can be with us tonight. I know not in the regular means like we wish that you could, but we're thankful for that you could tune in with us over Facebook or YouTube or however you're tuning in tonight. We are thankful to have you here, and we'll give just a minute for everybody to log on that can. I do want to say that we're thankful for the privilege of technology to be able to still be in contact with you and to preach the Word of God and share some prayer requests with you as well tonight. I hope that everybody's had a good week, and we're looking forward to our Christmas holiday. And most of you are probably, this is your Friday as far as the work week, and so I'm sure you're thankful for that. I would like to say, first of all, as we make a few announcements, we'll just pray real quick. I ask that you would pray with me if you can. Don't bow your head if you're driving right now, but if you can do that, would you pray with us tonight, and then we'll make a few announcements and a few prayer requests, and then we'll look into the Word of God. Father, Lord, we thank you for the privilege to come before you in prayer today. Lord, we thank you for your presence with us, Lord, and being so good to us. Lord, even when we can't be in the presence of each other here, we thank you for your presence that is real with us in our hearts and our lives. Lord, I pray that you'd help us, Lord, not to give in, not to give up, Lord, to keep working for you even when we can't be here. Father, we'll give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me say, first of all, before I say anything else tonight, I'd like to say that I am very thankful and grateful for the church calling us, me and Madison, to be a part of the church family here and to pastor here at Emory Heights, and we are beyond grateful. I wish that I could look into your eyes tonight and tell you that in person how excited we are and how grateful we are for this privilege and responsibility. I certainly didn't want to have to tell you through a camera on our first service, but so be it tonight. I'd like to tell you thank you, and we love this church, and it's good to look at each other and say we're going to our church tonight, and this home church to be our church as well. And we're excited. We ask that you'd pray with us and work with us as we minister here. And we're looking forward to great things in the future for this church. And we just love to see it grow, to grow in number, but also to grow in maturity of the Word and to grow in ministry and outreach. We just like to see the Lord be with us and continue to bless this church as He has for many years. So I'd like to say thank you. And we praise God for being so good to us. We did make it back safe, obviously, from our trip this weekend, and we were able to watch the services online, and it was such a beautiful Christmas service Sunday morning. All the singing, everything that was done, we thank you for those that had a part in that and helped to put that together. And we appreciate Brother Marcus preaching while we were away, and we were thankful for that as well, and Brother Jerome teaching Sunday school. I would like to announce that, of course, Christmas is Friday. This Saturday, the 26th, they will be having the clothes drive, as far as I can tell. I don't know if this will be changed or not due to everything going on, but we will keep that in the announcements for right now. And if anything is changed, then we will post that. So just keep updated on our page, on Facebook for that event, and also for church on Sunday as well. I pray that you would... I ask that you continue to pray for the family in our church affected by COVID. I'm not going to just say the name over the airwaves tonight, but I would ask that you'd please pray for them. Right now, this member is feeling slight symptoms. I think a fever, sluggish, and a cough right now. I don't think that it's anything more than that. We pray with me that it would stay that way, and that God would give healing and good grace to them as they're dealing with the sickness, and that He would bring us back safely into God's house and there wouldn't be any more spread inside of the church. I would like to ask you to pray for Sister Laura Helton. Please continue to pray for her. Karen McDonald's mother, she is at UT. She is not in the ICU anymore. She's in a room. She's in more stable condition. They're hoping and planning on the blood clots in her legs to be absorbed, and then they can move forward from there. She is in some pain. Sister Karen said it's painful but manageable, and she's in good spirits at this time. And her birthday was yesterday, and her and Brother Bud, it was their 53rd wedding anniversary. So we congratulate them, and we pray for healing for her, that she could come home and get out of the hospital. Continue to pray for Brother Jake, and we weren't here Sunday night, but I know Brother Jake was able to come, and that was a blessing for the church to see him. And I ask that you continue to please pray for him and his wife. He had some scans Monday and a procedure done on Tuesday so they could start some treatments for him. And please pray for him. Keep them in your prayers and on your mind and heart. Pray for Sister Faye and Brother Randall and his wife, Sister Brenda, that God would touch them and help them as they undergo their treatments. And they may even be able to watch tonight. And we do pray for them. And if they're watching, it's good to have you. Continue to pray for Brother Ronnie. Brother Ronnie had surgery on his knee. That was this weekend. And he is recovering. I talked to him this week. And he said, we need to recover fast. There's a lot to do and little time to do it. And we do agree with that as well. Pray for Sister Rita Baker, Sister Miranda's mom. Please keep her in your prayers. She may be watching tonight. She is still on IV antibiotics for her knee and everything going on with the infection and the different problems there. And so they did have to up her antibiotic last week, and she does need our prayers and encouragement. Please pray for her. And also Tammy Stockton's uncle by the name of Charles. He is in the hospital right now with COVID and with pneumonia. We ask that you'd please pray for Charles, that God would be with him and with his family. This is the request that I have right now. I know that there are no doubt many others. I know if you are here tonight, you would make them known unto us. If you'd like, feel free to comment them on the video. I'd safe to say most all of our church family are watching this or will be watching this, and we'll pray together with you. Several requests on the church page. Please, please pray for one another. Bear one another's burdens. And if you can pray, we can all pray, but if you can put some feet on your prayers and do something to help, we ask that you do that, and we're thankful for that. There's, I know Brother Jerome even tonight was sending some boxes, some food boxes to, I think, 8 different families tonight, and there may be others that were helping him with that and that helped, no doubt, to put that together. So things are still going on, and we praise the Lord for working in our hearts and in our lives. At this time, I don't think that I have missed anything, and if I have, then like I said, you can feel free to text me, remind me, anything that you need to be made known tonight. I'd like to pray for just a few minutes, and once again, if you can pray with us, if you can kneel down on your couch or there by your kitchen table or wherever you may be, then I ask that you'd pray. Give us a few minutes to pray for our church and these requests tonight. Father, Lord, we thank you once again, Lord, for your people. God, we thank you for this church. Lord, we thank you for being so good to us. Lord, we thank you for loving us and taking care of us. Lord, there are many requests tonight. Lord, just the ones that I can recall. Lord, no doubt there are many, many, many others, even in our church family. God, we do ask that you would let your will be done. Lord, that you would be glorified in all things that happen, Lord, at this place and in our lives. Lord, we pray for those that are dealing with sickness, whether it be COVID, whether it be cancer, Lord, whether it be, Lord, surgery, Lord, different things, whether it be dealing with loss or a death in the family. We ask that you would, Lord, please be with us, Lord, those that are suffering. Lord, I pray that you'd put a hedge of protection, Lord, about this flock, Lord, that you would keep the spread of this virus, Lord, that you would give healing to that one, Lord, that has it, God, that you would touch them. Lord, I do pray, God, that you'd bring us back into your house, Lord, as soon as you see fit, Lord, that we can. God, we'll give you the praise and the honor and the glory for everything that is done, and we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask my wife to get me a bottle of water if she can. We'll look into the Word of God tonight. Pray for our voice tonight. And I tell you what, we're excited to look into Revelation chapter 5. If you have a Bible near you, and I hope that you do, would you turn with us tonight to Revelation chapter number 5? This has been an exciting study for me. It has been very joyful to learn these things, and such interest to me. I hope it has been to you if you've been able to keep up with this series in Revelation. Tonight, we're looking in Revelation chapter 5. This is no doubt one of my favorite chapters in the book of Revelation, in this series, at least thus far. And I tell you what, I really wish that I could preach it to you in person tonight. But nevertheless, the Word of God is just as powerful, whether it be in person or over the camera tonight. But I do pray that you listen to the Word of God, read along with me, and take the time. I'll say this. I've sat where you're sitting tonight. I've sat in my home looking at the phone or the TV and watching the service. And I know it's not the same. I know it's not the same to watch instead of being here. And I will say this, it's very easy to get distracted. Thank you. I want to challenge you tonight. Please don't get distracted on us. Don't hang up the phone or the TV in the middle of the sermon just unless something really comes up. I pray you'd stick with us and look into the Word of God tonight. Try to purpose in your heart that you're going to pay attention to the Word of God tonight, not necessarily to me, but to the Word, that we might apply it to our hearts, all right? Revelation chapter number 5, I want to begin reading in verse number 1. We'll make our way about halfway down the chapter tonight, down to verse number 7. Revelation chapter 5 and verse 1, John says, "And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?' And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, 'Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the 7 seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and of the 4 beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having 7 horns and 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took," what? "The book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the 4 beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, 'Thou art worthy to" what? "To take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation." I want to preach on this subject tonight. I want to look specifically at the 7 sealed book. The 7 sealed book. If you're taking notes tonight, and if you are, I think that is a great thing. Write this down. We're going to look tonight at the 7 sealed book. Father, we thank you once again, Lord, for the privilege to preach. Add your blessing to the reading of thy word. Lord, help us to teach and preach with clarity tonight. Bless those that are watching. In Jesus' name, amen. Revelation chapter 5, in my opinion, is, to me, Revelation 5 is the most beautiful chapter in the entire book of Revelation. And in my opinion, this may perhaps be the most beautiful chapter in all of the Word of God. And I may say that several times over many different chapters. But right now, to me, this is, to me, the most beautiful chapter in the Word of God. There are no amount of words that could do justice in describing the splendid beauty of this heavenly scene. And there is no amount of emotion that we could ever experience in this life that could compare to the emotion that we're going to feel on this day in Revelation chapter 5. In Revelation chapter 5, it tells us about a day when the very Lamb of God will come before the throne of God and He will take the seven sealed book. And on that day, we, the church, will sing that great song, "Worthy is the Lamb." On that day, there will be 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands that will stand and worship before the Lamb of God. I want you to remember that this event in Revelation 5 is still in the future. This is an event that has not yet happened yet. Remember that in Revelation 1, we have things that are past. In Revelation 2 and 3, we find things that are present. And in Revelation chapter 4, to the end of the book, we have things that are future. I want you to remember, in Revelation chapter 4 and Revelation chapter 5, we are given a transition from the church age into the tribulation. The tribulation officially begins in Revelation chapter number 6. But in chapter 4 and 5, we are introduced to heaven after the church is raptured, and we're going to see what takes place in heaven. Now remember, if you didn't watch or you weren't here last week, you should go back on the website or the page and look back when we looked in chapter 4. In chapter 4, John is called up hither, he is raptured up, and John views the throne of God. That's what chapter 4 is about. In chapter 4, John sees the magnificence of heaven. In chapter 4, John sees the throne. He sees a throne of grace. He sees a throne of fire. He sees a throne of holiness and a throne of judgment and a throne of majesty. In chapter 4, John sees God the Father. In chapter 4, John sees the Holy Spirit. In Revelation 4, John sees the four living creatures. In Revelation 4, John sees the 24 elders that are around the throne. In chapter number 4, he views the emerald rainbow around the throne. He hears voices and thunderings and lightnings, and it's a great and a magnificent chapter, chapter number 4. But even in all of the things in chapter 4, there is still something that is missing there. There is a missing person, and that person is Jesus Christ. You don't read of him in chapter 4, but he who is missing in chapter 4, we find that in chapter 5, he is the main person of chapter number 5. The Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. Remember this, in John chapter 4, John views the throne. In Revelation chapter 5, John views the Lamb. Notice Revelation 5 verse 6. In the midst of the elders stood what? A Lamb. In Revelation 5 verse 8, he said the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. In Revelation 5, verse 12, what did they sing? Worthy is the Lamb. In Revelation 5, verse 13, he said, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. The Lamb, Jesus Christ, is the main person that this chapter is focused on. Chapter 4 is focused on the throne. Chapter 5 is focused on the Lamb. Up until this chapter in the Word of God, up until Revelation chapter 5, we have seen Christ in many ways. We have seen Christ in the Old Testament. We've seen Him through prophecies and through types and glimpses of Him. We have seen Christ as a humble servant in the Gospels. We have seen Him born into poverty. We've seen Him despised and rejected of men. We have seen him washing the disciples' feet and raising the dead and healing the sick and ministering to the needy. We have seen Christ agonize in the Garden of Gethsemane. We have seen Christ's humiliation in Pilate's hall. And we've seen Christ's crucifixion on a cruel, rugged cross. We have seen Christ, who knew no sin, drink the bitter cup of our sin. We have seen him die and be buried and raise again. And we have even seen Christ on the right hand of the throne of God, making intercession for us as our priest. We have seen Christ throughout the Bible in many ways. But here, in this chapter, we see Christ as we've never seen him before. We see Christ as the victorious Lamb. We see Christ in all of his glory and his exaltation. We see here in this chapter where Christ is given all things. We're taught in Hebrews that Christ is the heir of all things. In other words, all things are Christ's inheritance. But as of right now, he has not claimed that yet. He has not picked up and possessed what he has purchased. In Revelation 5, we find Jesus Christ being exalted and claiming that which he has purchased so long ago. Truly, this is why the book of Revelation is called the Revelation of Jesus Christ. Not only does it reveal to us Jesus, it reveals to us Jesus in all of his glory and all of his exaltation. See, Jesus came to earth in the Gospels. He was seen of men, but his glory was veiled. It was not revealed, but veiled unto men. He did not have his full glory shining through. He was robed in flesh. But here in Revelation 5, he is no longer veiled, but he is unveiled. He is revealed. He is disclosed. This chapter shows us Christ in all of his power and glory and excellence and majesty. We find Christ as the victorious, risen, strong, standing Lamb of God. This chapter reveals to us the Lamb in all of his exaltation. What I want to do tonight is this. I want to take some time tonight to look closely at the seven sealed book in which the Lamb of God takes a hold of. Maybe next Wednesday night we're going to look specifically at the Lamb. We're going to look further in Revelation 5. But tonight I want to look specifically at the seven sealed book. I want you to notice this. If you're taking notes, there's a good way to think of this chapter. The main person of this chapter is who? Christ, the Lamb of God. The main object of this chapter is the seven sealed book. There is an object and there is a person. The object is the book. The person is Christ. And we're going to find that there is great significance in both the person and in the object. But I do believe we cannot truly appreciate what is going on in this chapter unless we first understand what this object is, this seven sealed book. So I want to look at this seven sealed book tonight. I pray it be a blessing to you what we find out from this book. I'll just put it simply to you tonight. I'm not going to maybe build suspense. I'm going to tell you exactly what this book is. Then I'm going to tell you why it is what it is. This book, this seven sealed book in Revelation 5 verse 1, it is the title deed to all of creation. I believe this book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals in the right hand of the Father, is the title deed to all of creation. In fact, you and me are included in what is written in this title deed. You say, is that so? Yes, and we're going to look at that here in just a few minutes. You say, Revis, what makes you think that this is the title deed to all creation? Nowhere does it say that. Maybe you're stretching it. Well, let me show you a few things about this book. Number one, I want you to notice the description of this book. This book is described to us in verse number 1 of this chapter. Look with me, Revelation 5, verse 1. He said, "And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book." All right, there's our book. He said that it was written within, on the inside, and on the backside. And it was sealed with seven seals. Here's our description of this book. You say, why is he telling us this? There is a significance in how this book is described to us, all right? Number one, I want you to notice this. First of all, this book is in the right hand of God the Father. He said, "I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book." First of all, this book is in the right hand of God. It's not in your hand. It's not in my hand. It's not in the devil's hand. It's not floating around in space. It is in the hand of God the Father. We know God the Father is the one sitting on the throne, because here in a few verses, the Lamb is going to come to the throne, Jesus. This is God the Father. He has this book. Now notice this. He tells us it's in the right hand of God. But then number two, he tells us that it has writing on it. It's not an empty book. It's not a blank book, but it is a book that is written within and without. So, secondly, it has writing on the inside and on the backside. Now, number three, he tells us something else. He tells us that it is sealed with how many seals? Seven seals. Now, I want you to take what we've learned just here. This is going to help us to understand what this book is. I want you to understand that when we read about this book, it didn't look like a book like we have today. It doesn't look like this Bible that I hold in my hand. This was before the years of a printing press. This was before they had binded books like this. This is not how they made books back then. They made scrolls. Whenever this is referred to as a book in Revelation 5, do not imagine it like this book as this Bible, but imagine it as a scroll. We do not take a book and seal a book with seven seals, but you would take a scroll and you would roll up the scroll and you would seal that scroll with a seal. So imagine this scroll sealed with seven seals here. Now I want you to notice it is significant, the fact that this scroll has writing on the inside and as writing on the backside. You say, why is that significant? Back in these days, in Bible days, scrolls or paper, they were made out of papyrus. And whenever they made papyrus, and they would mix it together and make that paper and that scroll, it would have a smooth side to it, and it would have a rough side to that papyrus. And so, naturally, they would write on the smooth side of that, and they would not write on the rough side of that papyrus. It would be left blank. That is how they did it. And so, when they rolled up the scroll, the smooth side would roll up to the inside, and the rough side would be outward, and it would protect that scroll. Well, this scroll is no ordinary scroll here. This scroll is written on the inside and on the outside. You say, well, why did he do this? Well, let me tell you this. In Jewish culture, and you can go back and you can look in your history, in Jewish culture, there was a certain circumstance where it would be correct to write on the backside of a scroll. You say, why is that? Well, back in Bible days, especially in the land of Israel, they took land very seriously, probably more serious than we take it today. Whenever you were to purchase land or you inherited land back in Israel, you were given a title deed to that land, just like you would now. You're given a deed, a title, a written proof or evidence that you could have and take care of to prove that you owned your land. They would give you a scroll. You would sign that scroll or subscribe it, that title deed, and you'd roll up the scroll and seal it with a seal. You say, where are you getting this? Well, you can mark this down. Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 9 through 12. In Jeremiah 32, we're not going to take the time to read all of it, But in Jeremiah 32, the prophet Jeremiah, while he is in prison, his family member comes to him and offers him land in the family to go and to purchase that land. And so Jeremiah decided to do that. It says there in Jeremiah 32, give me a minute, I'm going to turn there and read this to you. Jeremiah chapter number 32, there in verse number 9. He says this. He said in Jeremiah chapter 32, in verse number 9, he said, and I, Jeremiah, bought the field of Hanamel, my uncle's son, that was in Anathoth, and weighed him the money, even 17 shekels of silver. So in verse 9, Jeremiah buys the land. In verse 10, he said, and I subscribed or signed the evidence. What evidence? The scroll, the title deed, that's the evidence. He said, I subscribed the evidence and sealed it and took witnesses and weighed him the money in the balances. Then he says this in verse 11, so I took the evidence of the purchase, the title deed, both that which was sealed according to the law and custom. And in verse 12, he said, I gave the evidence of the purchase unto Baruch. And he says later that he subscribed the book of the purchase, or the scroll of the purchase. You say, what are you getting at here? I read that to show you that in those days when you bought the land or a field or a property, you were first to pay the price. Then you gathered up witnesses, then you would sign that title deed and you would seal that. That is what Jeremiah did. You say, where am I going with this? Well, stay with me here. In those days, if you were to, in unfortunate circumstances, if you were to become poor and you could not uphold that land that you had, if you were to go bankrupt, if you will, and yes, people did that even back in Bible days, even then, they would, if you will, evict you from that land. That title deed would be taken away. But Israel in those days were very gracious, very important to keep family with the land and keep the land in the family. So if you were to lose your land, they would take the title deed from you. But they would take that title deed and they would write upon the back of it, they would write on the back the debt that you owed in order to get that title deed back. They would take that title deed then and they would then seal it with seven seals. And they would seal it up and give you 7 years to come back and to redeem that land and that title deed. Now, I hope you can see where I'm going with this. I'm explaining all that to say this. What this shows me here is in the right hand of God, there is a title deed. But not only a title deed, but a title deed that has been lost. It has been written on the backside of it. Within shows what it goes to, but without shows the debt that is owed to redeem it. And it's sealed with seven seals in the hand of God, and it is something that is waiting to be redeemed or to be bought back. Do you see where this is going tonight? You say, Revis, who did this title deed belong to? Who was the one who lost this title deed? Well, I can say this. This, whoever it was, lost it through poverty. I want you to look, number two, at the declaration of this book. We find in verse number one, we find the description of this book. In verse number two, three, and four, we find a declaration of the book. He says, and I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, he says, who is worthy to open the book? See, when you would redeem that title deed, then they would loose the seals. The bondage was given up and that title deed was liberated. This angel is standing here beside the throne. And he's saying, anybody that's worthy, anybody that's rich enough, anybody that's powerful enough, anybody that is able to, come and loose this book and redeem this possession. What's he say in verse 3? No man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. This angel is addressing men. He is addressing mankind. You say, who had this title deed? Mankind did. The title deed. This is the title to all of creation and to the earth. And friend, this title deed, once upon a time, it belonged to you and me. It belonged to Adam and to the human race. This is a deed to the dominion over the earth. What did God do when God created man? He gave them dominion over the fowls of the air and the fish of the sea and the earth. And he said, multiply and subdue the earth. Man was given the title deed to creation, entrusted with the care of this world. That's why he told him to keep the garden. You know what? Mankind lost this title deed. How do you lose a title deed? Through poverty. Friend, when man sinned, when Adam and Eve fell into sin, they fell into spiritual poverty and ruin and rags and depravity. And because of our sin, the title deed to creation was given up. Now, I would not say it was given to the devil. The devil did not obtain the title deed to the earth. You say, why? It's not in the hand of the devil. It is in the hand of God. It is in the hand of Him that sits upon the throne. Once again, we find in Revelation that everything is inside the hand of God. And God has control of everything. I am thankful. Yes, the devil is the prince and the power of the air. But friend, he does not have the title deed. God holds the title deed. But He has given a chance for mankind to redeem that which they have lost, to purchase and to buy it back. Boy, think about that scroll. Think about all the sin in your life and mine. Think about all we've done. Think about our depravity. And think about our poverty spiritually. You know, they were to write the dead upon the backside. Imagine what all is written on the backside of that scroll. Imagine the dreadful debt and the long list of all of the sins that have given up our title deed. No doubt this is a debt that is so great that no man in heaven and earth or under the earth could ever begin to pay back the debt or to redeem that which we have lost. Friend, that is why you cannot work your way to heaven. That is why good works will not get you there. Because, friend, the title deed has such a great debt upon it that no man could ever buy that back. You say, well, maybe I can be good enough to get myself to heaven. Friend, that's not how this works. First of all, you couldn't be good enough to get yourself to heaven anyway. But even if you could get yourself to heaven, friend, this title deed belongs to all of mankind. You'd have to be good enough not just to get yourself to heaven, but everybody with you. And friend, certainly no man is able to do that. It takes somebody powerful enough not just to pay my debt, not just to pay your debt, but to pay every man's debt. All of this is wrapped up into one title deed, into one scroll. Not every man has their own scroll. There is one title deed, and all of mankind's debt is written upon it. And friend, what we find here is that no man is able to redeem it. This angel stands, and he cries out, who is worthy to open the book, to loose the seals thereof? No man. No man was able. No man was even able to look thereon. Why? Because all our righteousness are as filthy rags. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. No man is able to open the book. I want you to notice number 3, the despair of the book. We find in verse 1 the description of the book. We find in verse 2 through 4 the declaration of the book. Who is worthy? But in verse 4, we find the despair of the book. John begins to see what's going on. I think John immediately understood what that title deed meant. And John begins to weep. John begins to weep within himself and groan and weep bitter tears. Why? Because the gravity of this situation begins to weigh upon him. It said in verse 4, "And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open the book and to read the book, neither to look thereon." I want you to remember this, friend. You and me, if you're saved, we will be there that day. We are going to be there before the throne. We will see this book. We will hear the declaration of this strong angel. And we will know immediately that we are not worthy. I believe, like Isaiah and like Job, we'll have to say, "Woe is me. I am undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. I am not able to open the book. I cannot redeem it." Perhaps like John, me and you, we may even begin to weep. I don't know. Maybe we'll begin to weep as the crushing weight of this book and the proclamation of it becomes real to us. Maybe we'll despair, if just for a moment. But friend, I'm thankful tonight that if we do, our despair will not last long, because John's despair did not last. John began to weep, but as he wept, here comes an elder, and he said, "John, weep not." Weep not, why? "Because the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof." Notice number 4, the deliverer of this book, the redeemer of this book. In verse 5 and verse 6 and verse 7, we find the deliverer of this book. Praise God that even when you and I are not worthy, friend, we serve a God, Jesus Christ, who is worthy. He is our kinsman redeemer. He is the one that can buy back what we have lost. He is the one that is able and is willing. See, Christ is the one that has paid the price and paid the sacrifice. That is why he died on the cross, not just to save you and me from hell, but to buy back that which we've lost so that we might be fellow heirs with Christ. See, we couldn't buy back what we've lost. We couldn't redeem the title deed. We needed a kinsman redeemer. So Christ came to this earth and became the Son of Man. He became a kinsman redeemer. That qualified him. And he is able to buy back that which we've lost. And whenever he claims that, we become fellow heirs with Christ. And we get to take part in that which he has redeemed. Friend, he paid for that title deed with his own precious blood. Friend, I want you to understand this. Christ is not making any type of deal with the devil. The devil doesn't have the earth and is exchanging it to God or to Christ. The devil does not hold that. Christ is not purchasing the title deed from the devil. He is purchasing it from God the Father. Jesus Christ did not shed his blood for the devil. He shed his blood to be presented unto God on our behalf and on behalf of this title deed. Friend, the devil does not own this, but God owns this. Right now, this title deed has yet to be redeemed. Right now, this title deed has been purchased, but has not been possessed by Christ. In other words, let me put it to you this way, as simple as I know how. Christ has ordered it, but he ain't picked it up yet. If that's the best way I can say it in these terms. Christ has paid the price, but he has not possessed that possession as of yet. Right now, the devil, the intruder that he is walking to and fro in the world. Right now, the devil is the prince and power of the air, and the devil is acting as if he holds the title. But friend, the devil does not own the title. There is coming a day in Revelation chapter 5 when Jesus will claim that which he has purchased with his own blood. And you know what he's going to do? He will evict the devil from that which he has no right to. The devil's squatting, if you will. The devil is ruling here to a place he has no authority over. He has no right in. And friend, one day Jesus Christ is going to take that evidence, that title deed, and he's going to come back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he will evict the devil from that which he has no right to. Friend, I've got news for you. There is coming a great day of redemption, and that day is in Revelation chapter number 5. That is why Paul could say in Romans chapter number 8, in verse 19. Now, if you're taking notes, mark down Romans 8. It goes right along with Revelation 5. Romans chapter 8, Paul talks about how we are waiting for the day of redemption. What's that verse? We are sealed unto the day of redemption. Yes, our spirits, our souls have been redeemed now, but our bodies have yet to be redeemed. We are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise unto the day of redemption. What is that day? That is Revelation chapter 5, when Christ will redeem all things. In Romans 8 verse 19, did you know that we and you are not the only ones waiting for that great day? Did you know that all of creation is waiting for that day? In Romans 8 verse 19, Paul said that the creature waiteth, or the creation waiteth. He said it waiteth with earnest expectation. Friend, I hope that you're expecting Jesus to come back, but did you know the earth is expecting it as much as we are? Why? In Romans 8 verse 20, Paul said the creature or creation was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. What's that mean? When Adam sinned, a curse was put upon the whole world. Creation didn't want that. Creation was made subject unto our vanity, not willingly, but unwillingly. And creation is waiting and travailing and groaning for the day in which Christ will redeem not only us and our vile bodies, but in which he will redeem all creation on this earth when he obtains the title deed to that which we have lost. That's why in Romans 8 verse 21, he could say, because the creature itself also shall be delivered, redeemed, bought back from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. In Romans 8 verse 22, Paul said, the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together. In Romans 8 23, he said, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. What is he talking about? He's talking about Revelation chapter 5, when Christ will redeem all things. We are waiting for that great day. Let me give you another few verses here that go right along with Revelation 5. Ephesians chapter number 1. In Ephesians chapter number 1, Paul tells us a lot about the redemption in Christ. In Ephesians 1 verse 7, he speaks about Christ and he said, in whom we have redemption through his blood. In other words, in Christ we have redemption bought by his blood. Then he says this in Ephesians 1 verse 11. He said, in whom also, in Christ also, we have obtained an inheritance. What inheritance is he talking about? He's talking about that title deed. All the inheritance that is wrapped up in that title deed, that seven sealed book. He said in verse 13 of Ephesians 1, in whom also, in Christ also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. We were sealed. Why with the Holy Spirit of promise? Because that great redemption day has not taken place yet. But if you have accepted Christ, then we are sealed with a promise that we will be redeemed one day. And Christ does not break his promises. He said in Ephesians 1 verse 14, he said that the Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption, listen, of the purchased possession, unto the praise of His glory. What a beautiful chapter, Ephesians 1. What's Paul saying here? He's saying, hey, Christ has bought the purchased possession with His blood. That is the title deed. That is the seven seal book. That's the purchased possession. He said there is coming a day when Christ is going to redeem that which He purchased. He said right now, we are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise if you've been saved. In other words, we are promised that if you accept Christ in this life, we will be sealed until we are redeemed on this great day. Friend, this day in Revelation 5 is when Christ will redeem all things, all flesh and creation. Friend, on this day in Revelation 5, Christ will obtain this inheritance, and we are made joint heirs and fellow heirs with Christ. What a beautiful picture here we see. I want you to look in Revelation 5 once again. Lastly, we see the dominion of this book. In Revelation 5:1, we find the description of the book. It's in the right hand of God. It's written within and without. There's a debt. It's sealed with seven seals. In Revelation verses 5 or chapter 5, 2, 3, and 4, we find the declaration of this book. The angel says, who's worthy? And no man was found worthy. We find the despair of the book. John begins to weep. But then, there in chapter 5, verse number 5, we find the deliverer of this book. He says, weep not, for Jesus Christ hath prevailed to open the book. Then we find, lastly, the dominion of this book. This book, as we've said, is the title deed to the inheritance of all things. It is a book that holds the dominion. In other words, whoever buys that book has the dominion to all things. We know that Christ will do that. He has purchased it. He will claim it. And whenever He does, He will be given dominion. Look in Revelation 5, verse 12. In Revelation 5, 12, this is why they could sing this song. They said, with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb. He's worthy. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying this, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto Him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. See, Jesus Christ, this book is going to contain all glory, honor, power, blessing, and dominion. And on this day, Christ is going to receive that which He rightfully deserves. I'm thankful I'm going to be there on that day. Let me give you one verse. I'm not even going to read it. I want you to write it down if you're taking notes. Daniel chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. Daniel gets a glimpse of what happens in this chapter. If you really want to study this book, I encourage you to go back and read Daniel 7, verse 13 and 14. You'll see what we've read tonight. He said that He was given dominion and power. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2, it tells us that God hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things. Christ is the heir of all things. He is the only one worthy, the only one that is able. And friend, there is coming a day when He will claim that which He has purchased. In the Gospels, you'll find four specific titles of Christ. In the Gospels, He's called the Son of Abraham. As the Son of Abraham, Jesus rightfully deserves the land of Israel. And one day He will rule and reign there in Israel. As the Son of David, Christ deserves and is the rightful heir to the throne of Israel. He's also called the Son of Man.
as the Son of Man, he rightfully deserves and inherits the earth and everything therein as the Son of Man. And lastly, as the Son of God, he is heir of all things. And friend, one day he's going to take this book, and in this book, all four of those things are wrapped up in it. The land of Israel, the throne of David, all the earth and creation, and all things, even outside of that, will be given unto Christ. Glory and power and honor and blessing and dominion will be given to him. Friend, can I say this tonight? If you are not saved, if you have never accepted Christ, friend, you cannot pay your own debt. Only Jesus Christ will be able to do that. Only he is worthy. And friend, if you do not trust in his shed blood, then you cannot obtain this inheritance that we're talking about tonight. You cannot be saved from your sins. Friend, you'll not be in heaven. Friend, if you're not saved, I pray and encourage you to give your heart to Christ. He has paid the price for your sin. He's paid it with his blood, and he can redeem you from your debt, but only he can do it. Friend, I pray you'd give your heart to him tonight. I'm done. I'm going to pray. I know I've probably been long-winded tonight. There's been so much in this chapter. I pray you'd get something and this made sense to you tonight. Friend, we don't have long on this earth till Jesus is going to come back. I believe that. Friend, we're going to be there. If you're saved, we're going to be there in Revelation 5. And we're going to say, worthy is the Lamb. Friend, if he is worthy of our praise, then he's worthy of our work right now. He's worthy of our worship right now. Because we have already been sealed unto the day of redemption. I'll pray that you're giving him that praise now that he rightfully deserves, because he deserves all of it. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes tonight. If there is anybody watching this that doesn't know Christ as their Savior, maybe you don't know what it's like to live the Christian life, or you don't understand that, maybe you'd like to comment on the video, maybe message our church page, and I'd be happy to talk with you a little bit more about this if you're interested, all right? Father, we thank you, Lord, for being so good. Lord, we praise you, Lord, for what we've learned in this chapter tonight. I pray that all those that are listening tonight would understand it and find clarity in it. Lord, we love you, we praise you, because you first loved us. You're worthy of all of it. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We appreciate so much you tuning in with us tonight. And we hope that you have a Merry Christmas, and we hope that you enjoy this season and you stay safe and healthy, and keep your health up and take a lot of vitamin C and vitamin D and whatever you need to do, and just practice good hygiene. Don't lick any doorknobs, and don't do any of that. And we trust that maybe soon we can be back in the house of God. Please stay updated on the church page as to what we'll do next. And we'll be sure to keep you informed, all right? At this, you're in the fear of the Lord, you're at liberty to go. We'll cut off the church stream. Thank you.